You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Tiger fans, to Rockin' Radio's football podcast. I'm Nate Edwards. That's Nathan Hurst. This is Before the Box Score. It's your show right before the Black and Gold game. This Saturday, March 16th, you'll see your Tigers, quote-unquote, play football in front of a paying audience. Nathan Hurst.
It is not a paying audience. It is free attendance, so there's no excuse not to come.
Are we not doing the cans of soup anymore?
I think it's just show up. I don't know if they'll have bins or not. I haven't heard anything about that. All I've seen is just free admission.
I will buy a lot of hot dogs. Well, buy a lot of hot dogs. I will freely admit that I have not been to a Black and Gold game since 2012. Whichever one when they rolled out the new uniforms. That was the last one I went to. So
that sounds about right. My first date with my wife was at the 2012 Black and Gold game. So,
oh, beautiful.
No, 2011.
2011?
Yeah. She doesn't want to. She won't get mad at me. I think it was the 2011 Black and Gold game, first date. So they're good luck, I think.
Man, there's nothing more romantic than watching James Franklin try to beat out two other scrub quarterbacks. Dalton, doesn't matter. Didn't play here. It was great. That's great. That's how I would want to start my relationship with somebody, is watching James Franklin be good as a wee baby sophomore. Freshman, whatever he was. Welcome to the show. We're just reminiscing about guys. That's all we do, talk about dudes. Spring game is upon us. We have some news. Finally, something of note, something worth talking about. I don't know if you all heard this, but Missouri found their backup quarterback in the transfer portal. It's a guy named Drew Pine. Or as my phone autocorrect likes to call him, Drew Poon, which is objectively funny and gross, but, you know, Drew Poon. Drew Pine. So we're going to avoid all the tree jokes. Somehow a fourth-year player who still has 3 years left to play due to COVID redshirt and some random medical redshirt that he was awarded despite having two more years to play. So Nathan Hurst, you heard the news. We saw it break. He's allegedly going to be joining the team any day now. What do you think of the pickup?
I mean, I think it's about as good of a quarterback transfer get that we're going to get. I mean, barring some crazy name entering the portal after spring practice, I mean, he's about as a high caliber of a potential guy. When you don't have an opening at a starter spot, you're not going to bring a guy in that is looking to start immediately. You know, top tier guy. So this is about as high a caliber of a player that we really could have hoped to get, knowing that we've got Brady Cook coming to start at quarterback in the fall. He kind of checks all the boxes. We talked about this a few weeks ago when the Sam Horn news came out. He checks all of the boxes of what we thought that we would be looking for, and what Drinkwitz would be looking for. He has Power Five starting, well, Notre Dame starting experience, which I would qualify as Power Five. Sure. And also at Arizona State for a couple of games as well. So he started 12 games at the Power Five, so basically a full season. He's got multiple years of eligibility left, like you said. So he's coming in. He knows he's not going to start this year. Knock on wood, assuming no injury. But after this year, he'll still have two full years where if he can lock that job down, we've got him for at least a year. And if, hopefully he does well enough that he moves on to the NFL. But if not, we've got him for 2 years. And it really just stabilizes the quarterback room. That was what the big problem was with Horn getting injured, destabilizing that whole room. We've got Cook locked down, number one guy, and then nothing else, very top heavy there. So this really gives that depth where, I think the biggest thing is, if Cook were to go down, before getting in a guy like Drew Pine, who has started at P5, has won games at the P5 level, we were looking at, the season's pretty much over. No disrespect to Aiden Glover or Harold Blood or Tommy Locke. Those guys weren't going to come in the fall and win a lot of SEC football games. I just don't see any world where that would have happened. Drew Pine's a guy who has won at a high level, at that level, maybe not SEC level, but as close as you're going to get outside of the SEC. So I think it makes everyone starting with Drinkwitz on down a lot more comfortable with where we sit going into the fall and not feeling like we making Brady sleep in bubble wrap and have someone spotting him in the shower so he doesn't slip and fall. So I think it'll make Brady's life easier in that sense too.
Oh, this is a nice little hat. This is my Negative Nate hat. Let me put it on squarely on my head. Let me be a jerk. Just for a little bit. Drew Pine stinks. I know he was a 4-star coming out of high school. He was a 5.9 4-star according to Rivals. One of the highest rated quarterbacks according to 247. Not played it. Has not played like it. Let's list off the quarterbacks who he has not beaten out for the starting job. He has not beaten out a guy named Jack Cohn. He has not beaten out a guy named Ian Book, who I think was drafted, but I don't think he's done much.
He's a good college player.
Ian Book is a good college player. So Ian Book, Jack Cohn, could not beat him out. Tyler Buckner, who last I checked, doesn't even play college football anymore. He's actually a lacrosse player now. Couldn't beat him out. So Drew Pine got his break because Tyler Buckner was injured in the second game of Notre Dame's 2022 season. So that was the only way he got to see the field was that the starter went down. Now, if you look at what he did, he had a 64% completion rate, a 7.8 adjusted net yards per average. Basically, it looks at yards, completion rate, touchdowns, interceptions, sacks, and sack yardage, puts it all together, and comes out with that number. So again, that was a 7.8. That is fine. For comparison, Brady Cook in 22 was 6.2, and Brady Cook in 2023 was an 8.4. So Drew Pine's best year, which was 2 years ago at Notre Dame, was about, let's call it 0.06 worse than Brady Cook. He is not mobile, does not like to run. When he does run, not very good at it. And he takes a lot of sacks. Just a hair more than what Brady Cook does. And Brady Cook takes a lot of sacks because he likes to run. So when you take that all together, did he win games at Notre Dame? Yeah, absolutely. He had a good team around him. I don't think he stepped up and, Leroy Jenkins did any games and won them on his own. But he did fine enough to oversee, to be the quarterback for a couple winning games. Now, let me take that Negative Nate hat off. Go away. This is the best quarterback available. Just flat out. To your point, if you want someone who's going to sit and not get the job this year, this is the best guy you're going to get. And Eli Drinkwitz is really good at finding high potential guys your teams don't want, who needs a change of scenery, who is willing to buy into what Mizzou is selling. This is that guy. He's the best one on the market. And now, again, it's going to open back up. And maybe you'll change then, but he got the best one. And he's getting them now so he can be on campus. He can learn the book. He can go through all the reps. He can figure it out. You have an entire season to see how this thing is run. get used to the guys before the entire offense goes to the NFL anyway, but that's not the point. He's going to be getting used to the system, and he's going to be getting used to being a Missouri Tiger. So when Brady Cook's gone, he and Sam Horn can fight it out for established guys who's been here for a couple of years to become the backup. So I am fine with the move. He's not a very good quarterback. He could be better. Maybe this is the offense that makes him better, but you're also not going to get much better than this. And it is another blue chipper, which, you know, Eli Drinkwitz likes to collect, which puts Missouri's blue chip ratio at 31%. That is taking the total number of players that you have divided by the number of 4- and 5-star guys that are on the roster. Again, this breaks last year's record of the highest blue chip ratio possible. For whatever that means, he is not a 4-star performer yet, but he could be. So, yeah, I'm good with it. Do you know when he's going to be on campus? Have we heard? Is he even there yet?
No, I don't. I haven't heard anything for sure. I know he's taking classes at Notre Dame. I mean, those could be online. Those probably are online because I think he needed to finish up a degree so that he could now have probably earn his doctorate by the time he's done. So I don't think he's on campus now. I mean, as I said, though, it could be online. They could be all online classes, in which case he could be here now. Otherwise, I think he might have to finish in South Bend, because I know he left Arizona State and has been, you know, been taking classes all semester from Notre Dame. So he has not been enrolled at Arizona State all semester. No. So and even if he is in town, I don't think he could practice with the team yet, because he's not yet enrolled in Mizzou and can't until he's done with whatever degree he's finishing up at Notre Dame. So I mean, he would be he'll be here for his summer workouts regardless. I think, I mean, ultimately what this ad is, this, does he come in with 2 or 3 years full of eligibility? Yes. If he wins the job over the guys that we already have on the roster in 2025, okay, then he was the best guy that we have. But ultimately this is about this year, right? We have no backup. The backups were not conducive to having any shot at all. And let's say Cook were to roll an ankle, is out 2 weeks. We were going to lose those games. Unless it's against UMass, we were probably going to lose those games. That's not the case anymore. You know, would Drew Pine take us into Tuscaloosa and get a win? Probably not. But he stabilizes it. He will give you the whole team's not going to completely get depressed if Cook goes down for a game. We'll know we have somebody that has won at least one games on the field before. So that's really what this is all about. The beauty of the transfer portal, we can bring in more guys. I'm sure they will not stop recruiting quarterbacks after this year just because we have Drew Pine on the roster.
For sure.
So next year next year he's here. The year after that, you know, it's a whole open ball game again. And talking about his performance, his numbers aren't great. He was 100% a game manager at Notre Dame in the sense that they did not ask him to do very much at all. That was a run first offense. They had a really good defense. They just kind of sat on you and controlled the game flow on both ends of the ball. That's how they won a lot of games. That's how he won 8 games at Notre Dame. He was 8-2. But I mean, he had a good completion percentage, 65%, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. So it's not like he's just out there chucking it all over the place, throwing it to guys on the other team all the time. Sure. Now, is he taking a lot of, you know, really great throws, deep shots? You know, is he going to be, are we going to see him hitting Theo Weiss 45 yards downfield in stride? I don't know. Probably not. I don't think he's done a lot of that. If he comes in, you know, he's probably not going to throw it to the other team 3 times. And that's about all you can hope for out of a backup, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Unlike our previous transfer backup from 2021. Yeah. Glad he got his degree. Glad he did. But yeah, I mean, Drew Pine's got 17 games of experience. You know, up until last year, Brady Cook had 20. So, you know, that's kind of, it's a very similar amount of games, I mean, efforted from both. So yeah, it's a long, you know, it's an immediate Band-Aid and we'll be fine. If you see him, something's gone wrong. Or something's gone right. But then again, Eli Drinkwitz doesn't play backups during blowouts. So it's probably something wrong. But congratulations, Drew. We're glad to have you. Even if I am negative Nate, I'm glad he's here. Makes me feel better about this year. And this is the year that really counts. So I'm good with it. And yeah, what does he do when he's got SEC see talent on the lines and NFL caliber wide receivers on the outside. Not to say Notre Dame doesn't have any of those, but I think it's quite a bit better offense he's walking into than the one that he played in Notre Dame and Arizona State. So a lot of potential. You can be, you know, you never know how these things are going to work out. Maybe he's the second coming of Brady Cook. I don't know. But that's where we're at quarterback. It's locked down. We're good to go. And, of course, the team's ready to go for the spring game this Saturday. Black and gold game's fun. You can meet your future spouse there. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's really not a whole lot you can learn. It's mostly just to see them play football. And sometimes they show you stuff. Sometimes they don't. But we can guarantee that guys wearing jerseys and helmets are going to take the field and throw the ball around with some effort. So as we get into this, and it is on the SEC Network, it's the first spring game that's going to be televised, which is fun. Not ever, just this year. But as we go into the black and gold game, you know, there's stuff we want to see. We've heard from the coaches, we've heard from the players. Obviously, the beat writers get, you know, 8 or 9 minutes per day to watch them play, and really haven't seen much past that. But this is our chance. So, Nathan Hurst, let's go through our three things that we want to see, because, you know, maybe the spring game doesn't show you anything, but you can at least see something. So what's the number one thing you want to see this Saturday?
I'm just really curious to see the offensive line rotations, who they're bringing in, who starts at right guard, how many different guys are getting first team reps at right guard. We feel like we've probably got the other four spots pretty nailed down. If it sounds like Cameron Johnson has moved over to left guard spot, so really it's just that right guard spot is who gets that those first snaps with Brady Cook under center. And is it the same guy for two straight drives, or is it, and that might tell us that that guy seems to be, you know, a little bit ahead for that, to winning that spot, or are they rotating guys in? Cause for these types of games, they might go play to play, snap to snap, bringing a new guy in and block. And if that's the case, then it kind of have no, well, that won't tell us very much at all. So who is that going to be? How many different guys are rotating with the first team? And then beyond that, like, get on the second team, what are the five guys on that second team? Cause I'm kind of an offensive line nerd, but I'm really interested in who are the backups. Offensive line is a very difficult position to stay healthy at five spots all year long. We were blessed to stay healthy at that position last season, and that was a huge part of why we had such good success. So who's locking in those backup spots where if a guy goes down, you know, a Mitch Walters will float in or whoever. So just really, really curious. Don't really have a dog in the hunt as to who wins. I just want the best guy to win that spot. But I just want to see how Brandon Jones kind of has them all laid out.
I mean, it's the one real big question this offense has. I mean, you could talk about running back. You could talk about it's really just the offensive line, and it's specifically the right guard spot. So I'm with you. Who gets the snaps at right guard? How's that get broken down? You know, really, you know, you could probably write a pretty good story just keeping track of snap counts of right guard as we go through the year. Because again, barring something catastrophic, really, you got four of your spots figured out. It's going to be Caden Green on the left tackle. It's going to be Cameron Johnson at left guard. You're going to have Connor Tolleson at center, and you're going to have Armon Mimbu at right tackle. So who's the right guard? What's really interesting, because if it is Logan Riker, which we talked about this the last show, the four-star product out of Raytown, if it is Logan Riker, you are getting dangerously close to an all-Missouri offensive line, which has only happened one other time prior, Nathan Hurst. Do you know the year in which every single Missouri offensive lineman was from the state of Missouri?
My guess would be 2004 or 5-ish.
That's close. It is our favorite offense, the 2007 Missouri offense,
okay,
in which the offensive line from left to right was Tyler Llewellyn from Bethany, Missouri, Ryan Madison from South Harrison, Missouri, Adam Spiker from Webb City, Missouri, Curtis Gregory, the congressman from Blackburn, Missouri, and then walk-on Colin Brown from Bremer, Missouri. In fact, one of the things, not only was that 2007 Missouri offense one of the best of all time, but it was also an all-Missouri kid offense other than Chase Daniel. You had the Texan quarterback, and then you had Tony Temple from Kansas City, Jeremy Macklin from Kirkwood, Tommy Saunders from Kearney, Will Franklin in the slot. He was from St. Louis. Martin Rucker from St. Joseph. He was the tight end. We talked about the offensive line. How cool is that? You had almost all Missourians with one of the best offenses in school history, and now we're getting close with the all-Missouri offensive line. So I think that's fun. Obviously, I want Logan Reichert to win because he's a blue chipper, and that's fun. But Missouri also has like 9 Missourians of their 15 offensive linemen are from the state of Missouri. So, you know, it's, you know, corn-fed farm boys. They
hit
hard.
There's something in the water in small-town Missouri. Though I guess we – this in the 07 team, those were all small-town boys. A couple more Kansas City kids in this year's line. But I'll take it.
I will take it too. So I am with you. Number one thing is offensive line. And if you had to sub-point that, right guard. What is your the second most important thing that you are looking for this Saturday?
I'm just really – I don't know if it's important, but I'm just really curious. There's been talk of a new position that Corey Batoon's bringing in with his defense called the Joker position. Our own Jaden Lewis actually interviewed Brian Early earlier this week, and there's some great quotes talking about the Joker position in that piece on Rock'em Nation. So check that out if you want a little more detail. But I'm curious to see how much of that position we're going to see on the field. We talk about all the time, these spring games, the coaches purposely do not show anything. So I would be shocked if we don't see the Joker at all, or very little of it. But if they do show it, how are they using that player? We know that it's going to be a boundary edge, the boundary edge player. So meaning the defensive end or edge player that is closest to the sideline of the defense. And so that'll flip as long as that's not also the strong side, which it's fairly rare that the strong side is going to be also the boundary side. So it's going to be that player, while you've got the field side, which is the wider side of the field, there's more space over there. So the boundary side, closer to the sideline, will be the Joker position. And it sounds like it'll be a kind of a situational thing where the player who normally his job is has one job, and that is to get to the quarterback as fast as he possibly can. And if someone gets in his way, or if a running back has the ball and he happens to run into him and tackle him, that's great. But really his job is to get to the quarterback. The Joker position seems like it's a little more, they have more responsibilities. They're going to set the edge more to protect the run to the outside. They're going to drop into pass coverage when necessary, and specific coverages as well. So it's really going to be using that type of edge player in a more, I wouldn't say more advanced, but just a different way than we're used to seeing them in previous iterations of the Mizzou defense. Now, last year we did see Johnny Walker drop into coverage a few times earlier in the year to pretty poor effect, to be honest. And then I think Blake Baker realized that plan wasn't really working. And so Johnny is way better at actually running to tackle a quarterback as opposed to trying to cover a tight end or a running back out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. How do they use this Joker? Who do they decide? Who are they going to use in that position? I feel like a guy like Darius Smith, who has some off-ball linebacker experience, might be the guy that most obviously, at least to me, to slot into that when they need to have that position, because he has a little bit of that experience covering. It sounded like Brian Early said that Johnny Walker will get some run or some play at that Joker position. I'm not sure if I'm on board with that necessarily. He's shown that he's very good at tackling the quarterback. I want him focused on doing nothing but tackling the quarterback. It kind of brings up a general discussion. We could talk more about it, or we will talk more about it once the season starts and we actually see game film, real reps with this position. But the idea of it on its base, I'm not a huge fan of. I think you let the guys that are good at doing one thing, let them do that one thing, and let guys that are doing a different thing do that thing. So let your off-ball linebackers do those things like cover the running back out of the backfield, set the edge, let your pass rushers rest the pass. But if they find a guy that is versatile, like a Darius Smith, who can do that, and they want to throw it in as a changeup, you know, five snaps a game, just as something where they're not expecting it, and it's a different look. You know, Batoon knows more than I do. I'm just a little hesitant to sign on entirely on this idea if we've got guys out in the, you know, either trying to run a running back down on the edge or covering someone out of the backfield or a tight end out of the backfield that they're just not suited to do. That just sounds like it could end in tears sometimes.
Yeah. This is Harold Perkins all over again. Remember Harold Perkins last year? Who 2 years ago was one of the most ferocious edge rushers in the country as a freshman. And then Matt House, the LSU defensive coordinator, is like, no. You need to be an off-ball linebacker. You need to be a tackle machine. We don't want you to rush the quarterback around these parts. We want you to be a classic linebacker. And he stunk. Didn't do anything that he wanted to do. Do I like this concept of the Joker? The, you know, it's got a lot of different names, but that's the one we're going with. In theory, yeah. It sounds more like a position for like a specific group of players. Like, hey, we have this guy who just happens to be hybrid-y. That's what he does. Because the defensive ends that we have are edge rushers. Like, that's why they're here. Right. Yeah, and, you know, with Blake Baker, you know, when he blitzed from everywhere, yeah, at some point you need to drop someone in coverage, and occasionally that would be Johnny Walker. Yeah, that was not great. So he got away from those blitz packages, but also Johnny Walker started producing a lot more as the year went on. I'm with you. Let the edge rushers rush the edge. If this is Darius Smith's position, cool. If it's just a package thing, great. If this is, no, we need to recruit players to fit this role, less excited about that, especially if you're cramming square pegs into round holes. But this could also just be spring subterfuge, baby. Hey, watch out. We got this new position, and then don't ever do anything.
Never see it. Yeah, it could be. If you've got a tweener guy that maybe can't line up on play down-to-down basis and rush the passer in that, he maybe is a speed rusher, but if you got a really strong left tackle and he's just locking him up every time, maybe you do a little adjustment. I feel like our defensive end room is deep enough that we should have enough guys to find a couple guys that can consistently get pressure on the passer. But if it does turn out like a Darius Smith guy doesn't have a ton of success, because he hasn't really been an edge rusher before, at least not at the college level. That's just what they're trying to turn him into. So if he turns out to be a tweener and can play this role, and that's how they get him on the field because he's a great athlete, great. We have a different position, the star position, where Dalen Carnell is very much kind of like that. He's a tweener in that he's really not a safety, but he's too big to be a corner or a nickelback. Not great in man-to-man pass coverage, but he can wreck stuff up, as a box safety, as you kind of move him around, depending on what the alignment of the offense is. So if it's something like that, where, I mean, I got Carnell, you leave on the field all the time because he's too good to take off the field. If you have a guy like Darius Smith who can't line up as a traditional edge rusher, but he's also too good to keep off the field, this would be a way to do that. And in that case, I would be on board with it. But if you've got guys that are really good at creating pressure over and over and over again, I'd just pin their ears back and let them go.
Yeah. The second thing I'm looking for, and this is more of an established position, let's talk running backs. I know we mentioned it in the last show, but it sounds like Nate Noll has got at least taking the majority of snaps with the ones. Marcus Carroll's taking the snaps with the two. What does that look like? I don't know. I'm not saying that it's, you know, Eli Drinkwitz, Kirby Moore's offense is just, you know, add running back and prosper. Like 2022 taught us that was definitely not the case. But Nate Noll's very good. Very good. He had a great season. What was it? That was his 2021 season. And, you know, he almost rushed for 1,000 yards last year. Marcus Carroll mostly exploded last year onto the scene and got his 1,300 yards kind of out of nowhere. But I just want to know, what does that look like? How do they run? How do they deal with zone blocking? Obviously, they have experience with both, but not at the SEC level, not consistently. So what does that look like? What's the rapport with Brady look like? How do they pass block? Because obviously that's the guy that's going to get most of the snaps. I need to know. Because if you don't have a running back that's ready, again, 2022 taught us that you're not really going to do much in this offense. Now, there's a lot of other caveats you can throw there, but that's kind of how Kirby and Eli want this offense to go, through the running back. So that's my second one, just to see what they look like and how they run. That's the big one.
Yeah, Coach Looper had a really interesting quote I read yesterday, where because he had some media availability, and he likened it back to what I had kind of brought up, what I thought might look like a few weeks ago, where he said the two backs, Nolan Carroll, remind him a lot of how Beatty and Roundtree kind of complemented each other back in 2020, I don't think Carroll's as big as Roundtree, but he runs in a similar style. He's a more of a between the tackle guy. Knoll's a more of a outside tackle guy. So I could see a lot, even if Knoll's the starter, is listed, announced as the starter at the beginning of the game. I could see them really splitting carries, mainly because I'm not sure if Knoll can manage 25 carries a game on his own. Maybe he can, and maybe he's Tyler Beatty circa 2021, where he just is is a workhorse as a smaller frame. But that might diminish his ability. I mean, he's a burner, right? He's a guy you want to get the ball to 10, 15 times a game so he can turn the Jets on and not wear him down. Then maybe you give Marcus Carroll those in between reps, the between the tackle reps, the grinding reps, to kind of wear the defense down. So we'll see. It does sound like Knoll's kind of taken the lead as the starter there, which is great. I mean, I think that's nothing but a good sign. Yeah. You have a guy like Carroll who is steady and solid. I mean, he put up really good numbers at Georgia State last year. He's probably not going to run for 1,300 yards next year. But I feel like what you're getting more in Carroll. He can be, he's a pretty high floor guy. So if you've got that coming in, but Knoll's, beating him out, I think that shows that he's got a higher ceiling. And if we can get both those guys cooking, then that could be really good things. And not having to give one guy 30 carries a game. I mean, Coach Schrader's a small muscled god and can handle it. I don't know if any other mortal could do that and still be productive in the way that the right Schrader was. So if you could split those, two guys, you got your fast guy, you got your grinded out guy. I think that's probably the best we could hope for. I don't know what we're going to see in the spring game, though.
Yeah.
I hope that neither of those guys get a ton of carries. Just we need all these guys to leave Saturday healthy. That's the number one key of all we're talking about in the spring break. The number one thing we want to see is no one limping off the field.
Yeah. The load management's another one. And I don't know if this is a Drinkwitz thing or a Looper thing, but it always feels like it's just one guy who gets all the carries. Even in 2020, I think Beatty had like 48, maybe 50 carries on the year. Now it was weird COVID season, I know that. But like it was Larry Three Sticks all the way. And then 2021, it was Tyler Beatty all the way. And then in 22, it was going to be Nathaniel Peete. And then it was Cody Schrader for the rest of it. And then it was all Cody Schrader last year. Like this, they always talk about, oh, we need guys to step up. We got a good rotation. We got a good stable. And then they just keep handing off to the same guy over and over again. I feel like this is the year of all years. This is the year where it really makes a lot of sense to give both guys a shot. It's both their last year. They're not coming back. They're coming here to better their draft stock. They're going to be, they're going to be barking for the ball. And they have, they're both really good on the inside, but one was quite a bit faster from what we can see on tape. So like, This makes the most sense, and I hope that we do see a little bit better load management so we don't run these guys into the ground. Because, like you said, Cody Schrader isn't walking back through that door. So it's, protect him, make him better. But that's the second most important thing I want to see. Third for you, what's the last thing you want to see on Saturday?
I mean, it's perfect transition. Really, how much do the stars play? I'm sure we'll see Brady Cook for a series. To be honest, I hope that's all that we see him. He doesn't really need the reps. I would be perfectly fine if Luther Burden came out in street clothes and didn't see the field at all. He certainly doesn't.
Throw chips into the stands, man. That's all.
Yeah, just throw tea. He could be the guy tossing t-shirts to the crowd. I mean, help out the cheerleaders. He doesn't need these reps. Some of the other receivers. Here's what I would like to see. I would like to see first team come out minus Luther. Run a series down the field or a possession down the field till it ends, whether they score or they don't, whatever happens, and then bring off Cook, bring off Theo Weiss, those two guys for sure. Then depending on the offensive line, maybe there's some guys that you want to get reps at, not starters, but you really want a guy to get reps at tackle. You can bring off Mimbu, you can bring off bring off whoever, not necessarily the whole line, but a couple guys if you want to give others some more meaningful reps. Same with the defense. I some of the transfers, I feel like they probably need some more reps. So I'd be fine with a Zion Young, with a Darius Smith. seeing multiple possessions on the field. But guys like Drayden Norwood, we can't let that guy get hurt. So he needs to have maybe a series, get him off. Our two linebackers, Chuck Hicks, Tris Newsome, we can't get those guys hurt. Those guys could have maybe a couple plays, if at all, they can be off. And then just have it. I mean, it's boring. I know it's not fun for the fans to see, but I would much rather have the roster fully intact come August than have somebody get rolled up on in a pile in a meaningless game that means nothing. Do we really need Dalen Carnell, you know, going helmet to helmet on it, you know, and getting a concussion or, you know, stinger or something? Do we really need that? No. Let's let the, you know, get those guys on the field so the fans can say, yay, Dalen Carnell, yay, Jalen Walker or Johnny Walker. Few plays. Okay, you're done. Get the freshman in there. If the transfers, especially, you know, guys that haven't had a ton of playing time, need the reps, you know, those guys can stay out. Christian Williams, he doesn't need to be on the field. He's in year six. He doesn't need the reps. He's had plenty of reps at defensive tackle. He doesn't need to play. So how much do they play? How little the Stars play is really what I'm curious and hoping to. I'm hoping to get there and be really bored. I'll be in the stands. I want to be bored because there's guys that, you know, all the walk-ons that we've never heard of. Give those guys. This is their time to shine, man. Let them get the ovation because they won't get it any other time.
No.
I pay you $5 to walk into that stand with a sign that says, I want to be bored. And just hold it up.
Bore me.
Along those lines, yeah, because, like, you don't – transfers need to get some reps and the backups need to get some reps. Specifically, I need to see the interior defensive linemen because that is a collection of dudes that are unproven outside of, you know, Christian Williams, obviously. And then, you know, Chris McClellan – who's got, you know, 544 snaps at Florida. Like, he needs to kind of be at Mizzou, but also, like, he's fine. I'm pretty sure he's going to be fine. But, you know, Sterling Webb from New Mexico State was a wrecker for the Aggies. He needs to get acclimated to the SEC. He needs those reps. And then behind him, we just got four-star dudes who haven't done anything. Marquise Gracial, you are in year three, sir. You got the number 33. I want to see you on the field. Kai Montgomery, you have been the most snake-bitten, injury-prone dude on the planet. I am begging for you. I am crossing my fingers to the football gods to let you be healthy so you can get on the field and play some snaps on the interior. Jalen Marshall, you're in year three. Sam Williams, you're in year two. Like, this is the secret sauce to last year's Missouri's defense, and really the 2022 defense too, was the fact that they could rotate dudes on the inside with zero drop-off. And that was a converted fullback, Rallis George, a defensive end who got super fat, and Josh Landry. Like, it was kind of mismatched pieces that worked together as a whole and could be just as effective when you put them in, wherever you put them in. And you lost almost all of them. Jaden Jernigan was this fun little undersized guy who could just knife right through you. He's gone too. So they've done their work to beef up the inside of the defensive line. I don't need to see Christian Williams. I need to see literally all the other guys and show me what you got, because I'm a little nervous because I haven't seen it. And a lot of you have been injury prone. I need to see proof that we can have that consistent interior presence with zero drop off. Otherwise, I don't know what's going to happen next year, but that's the third thing I want to see.
Yeah. If there's one or two guys that I would love to just, like, hear their name a whole lot because they're doing good things, have the announcers sack by, I want it to be Marquise Gracial. I want it to be Jalen Marshall, because I want them to be in there playing and doing well.
Yep.
Marshall's in year two, and Gracial's in year three. Time to put up or shut up, guys. Let's go. Another guy I'd love to hear his name, Kai Montgomery. Can we get that guy on the field? I think he's finally healthy. He's had a lot of health issues, but he was another four-star guy. If I can hear those three names a lot, I'll leave happy, because A, it means the guys that aren't playing and I don't want to play, and the guys that do want to play are playing and playing well, and against hopefully, you know, second string offensive linemen at that point, which is still their SEC level depth, offensive line depth. So that is showing that you have the ability to make an impact down the road, because those guys are going to need to make an impact this season if this defense is going to be at the level that it really needs to be to to win 10, 11 games like we hope they will.
The defensive tackles, the interior linemen, also have the most fun collection of numbers you're going to see on the team from a single unit. Obviously, Christian Williams is number 5. Chris McClellan is wearing number 7. We talked last show that Sterling Webb is number 10. Marquise Gracio, 33. Kai Montgomery, 88. Like, what a weird collection of numbers, man.
88 is, I'll just make him look very fat, I think.
So, I don't remember Nate Howard from the 2015 defense out of Ladue, Missouri. He was an 88 edge rusher. I thought that was the coolest because he had the dreads out the back. He had the 8s on. I was like, man, that looks so cool. I know BK was very much a traditionalist in the numbers. I'm not. What is your stance on numbering positions? Do you have a strong stance either way?
I mean, sort of offensive line need to keep, I mean, for the mechanics of the game, they need to keep their 56.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't care. It's not something that like I'm super passionate about one way or another, to be honest. Is it kind of weird to see Sam Horn wear number 21 as a quarterback? Yeah, that's kind of weird, but it wouldn't be as weird as if he was number 93. Right.
Yeah.
There are some specific numbers that look really cool on big dudes, you know, single digit numbers look really cool on defensive ends. Overall, I'm not, you know, you could tell me we go back to the way it was and the wide receivers are only wearing 80 in the 80s and the quarterbacks are only wearing single digits and the running backs are the 20s. I would be fine with that too, but it's fun. I'm mainly on the, you know, live and let live. Let the players be the number, let them pick the number that they want to pick.
Yeah. You
know, whatever.
I mean, this is Gary Pinkel was a lot of things. He was also very creative in his numbering system. I mean, you got to realize during his time, he had a defensive end wear 85 and Alden Smith. He had a wide receiver wear 21 and Bud Sasser. He had a tight end wear 45, which I guess is not super weird, but still, Chase Kaufman, one of the best receiving tight ends ever, was a 45. You know, like that's kind of out of nowhere. I remember, you know, EJ Gaines, a cornerback, was 31. That was kind of an odd one. Now, the ones always kind of make you feel slick, but like, I don't know. I just feel like it's always Gary Pinkel, and maybe it wasn't him, it's just Missouri during the Pinkel run, had really interesting numbered dudes. And I don't know if it was like a lack of numbering or personal preference, but like, I don't know. Do you remember Dan Hoke or Matt Hoke? One of the Hoke boys, the defensive tackle, wore 89. Like
80, yeah, fun. That was Dan. Matt. Yeah, because Dan was the offensive lineman.
That's right. 89. Like, and you had 96, like Lucas Vincent.
I think he was a converted tight end, though. So that, like, I'm pretty sure he was a tight end.
Yeah.
And he
was
really big and slow, but strong. Yeah. And so they just moved him over, I think, if I remember correctly.
Maybe that was the case. Ah, well. Still, fun numbers, unique numbers. You don't get that a lot, so I like it. But yeah, that's all we got. Spring game again, March 16th. Before we let you go, I know that Sam talked about it on the show yesterday, which is in your feeds today because we're recording on Tuesday night. He talked about Rockin Plus, kind of the new subscription-based service that we have for you all. Just an extra little something extra for you all if you like Rock M and you want to get some inside deets, you want to get some stories that we are, you know, working on that not going to be seen in the public. You get early access to stuff, you get to talk to us directly. Listen to what Sam said. He's going to pitch it way better than I can, but we're all very excited for it. Already signed up, haven't said anything yet, but I will, I promise. And yeah, come join us on Rock M Plus. It's fun. We'll get you all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah, I think one of the big for us, one of the big things, new things will be if you sign up for Rock M Plus, you will have access to live podcast recording. So we'll start recording these things live exclusively for Rock M Plus subscribers. It will then be available in your feed if you choose not to be a subscriber. So you'll still get it down the road, but it might be a little bit of a delay. So if you want that early access to the pods live, we'll do some live question and answer that, you know, only available to those who subscribe as well. Yep. So we're excited about it. I think it's $5 a month. So it's not a huge investment. Come for the inside info that you'll get on the message board. Stay for the hot Mizzou golf takes on the message board.
Yeah.
I know that really draw, those will really draw a big crowd. But it will be the message board is kind of what I'm looking forward to the most. So I'm kind of a message board head. But they will be well moderated message boards. So one of the things that some of the other message boards maybe don't do as good a job at is being well moderated, keeping things civil, keeping things on topic. This is something that that I think we'll be pretty devoted to maintaining well moderated. We'll be on topic. We'll give you'll get good inside information. The transfer portal in basketball is about to open up. There's going to be a lot of inside information that Sam and the Mats are going to be dropping in that forum as well. So there are definitely reasons and perks for signing up.
Yeah. Rocking without all the weird Florida fans just trash talking us on our stories and weirdo boomer folks who just, I don't even know what they do, but they do something fun. And you can just get away from that with some like-minded folks who want to talk civilly about our favorite sports teams. So shout out to, let's see here, where are we at? Softball, rocking and rolling, wrestling. Keegan O'Toole is a beast. What else is good? Gymnastics is good, right? That's what we kind of talked about last time.
Baseball is two outs away from beating Kansas as we speak.
Hey, baseball's doing something good.
I'm sure I just jinxed it. So as soon as we stop recording, it's the bottom of the 10th right now, and they're up two runs. So
all right,
we'll see. If you listen to this on Wednesday, and don't blame me if something bad happens, because that seems to be the trend for the baseball team right now. But hey, positive vibes at the moment.
And hey, you know what? Whatever happens, we got you covered. Karen and the Olympic sports. The non-rev, however you want to call it. Softball beats, the baseball beats, gymnastics, all the good stuff. Like, we got you covered. They're knocking it out of the park. And there's plenty of coverage for that to go around on Rockin' Plus and Rockin' Nation. But that's going to be our show for today. So, as always, we appreciate the downloads and the subscriptions. We can leave a comment or rate us. We love all types of feedback from you all. You can follow us on Twitter at Matt and H. E. Edwards. He's at Burst Hurst. And of course, you can follow the Rockin' flagship at Rockin' Nation and our podcast and outlet at Rockin' Radio. We appreciate you tuning in this time. We'll try to do better next time. And until then, M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Rockin' Radio, a proud partner of Fans First Sports Network. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to see more just like it beamed directly into your personal device, just click the subscribe button below. Beep. And you can find this podcast through the Apple Podcasts app or for iPhone or the Google Podcasts app for Android, or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. We are also available on Spotify. Just search for Rock M Radio. And if you like other sports, Fans First Sports Network is a podcast network that has coverage of all other teams. Major League Baseball, MLS, NFL, whatever you want to listen and read about. It is a great, great network full of really fantastic podcasts. So look them up and subscribe to any and all of those podcasts. Rock M Radio will be back with more episodes coming soon. Thanks.